Your Bibles, got one anyway. Luke chapter 15. Well, we got lunch coming for the kids. We're just sharing that. How's that? Let's go. Luke chapter 15. Any of you ever lose anything of value? Lose something that you really, really, really didn't want to lose? I remember one time my grandfather Miller used to I used to buy them knives. That's how I got, at one time I got into trading knives for a while. That's how I got into knives. I would buy him knives and he would sharpen them. And first thing he'd do when you bought him a new knife was put an edge on it. Well, that was good because he'd get it really sharp. The bad part about it is it takes the value away from one a lot of times when you sharpen one. But he'd always put the edge on it right off the bat. He was known around the stockyard for being able to sharpen knives. I'll never forget, a lot of times I would he'd sharpen them, and everybody around the stockyard in London would tell me that he was the best around to sharpen knives. And he would go and he would pluck one of his old coarse gray hairs out, and he'd sharpen it, and he'd split the hair. Sometimes he'd do it twice. Then he'd touch it on the side and it'd fall off. Pretty sharp. I have to take a chainsaw, cut something like that. And I can't sharpen one. I've tried to learn the knack of sharpening like that, and I can't. But anyway, to make a long story short, when he died, I got all of his knives that I gave him back, which got me in the habit of collecting knives. But one I liked really well, and it was one of my favorite, probably one of the first ones I bought him. And I carried it, I wouldn't carry it outside because I didn't want to lose it. I'd just carry it to church. And so I lost it. And I found it later on in the couch cushion. Of course, it's a long story. But the point is, I hate it so bad. I went and I traced back every step trying to figure out where I would have lost it. This morning, we want to read about some lost things. Jesus tells a parable, four of them. Well, really, there's three, but he makes two out of one. In these parables, there are some things that are lost. These things are very precious to him because he has a great desire to find the things that are lost. The first parable, and by the way, a parable is a heavenly story with an earthly meaning. The first parable that Jesus tells is one about the sheep. I'd like for Stuart, if he hadn't sung the song last week, it'd been a perfect song for the day, about leaving the 99 and going to find the one. Now, you need to understand something about Jesus. You think he doesn't care about you? With Jesus, it's all about the one. When he had 100 sheep and he lost one, he went out to seek that one. The shepherd did, because that one was valuable. Jesus wants you to know that the value of your soul could not be estimated in the wealth of this world. He said, what would it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and in the end lose his soul? What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? You can't put a value upon one person. Now, a while back, there was some of the liberal and some of the liberal media got this thing started with Black Life Matters. And man, some people would stand up and say, all lives matter. And boy, they'd jump up and they'd holler and they'd crucify whoever would say that. But the fact of the matter is, it's not just black lives that matters. It's not red lives. It's not white lives. It's not yellow lives. All lives matter. And with Jesus, every single soul is important. He goes through and he tells about the shepherd losing one lamb, one sheep. He tells about the woman losing one piece of silver. He talks about the son that left the father's house, the prodigal. Then he talks about the elder brother. And there he's referring to Israel and letting Israel understand how that they didn't appreciate the position that God had put them in. But let's read, if you would, in Luke chapter 15 and stay with me a few moments. I want to bring a truth or two out of this. and knows that he would, the Bible says in verse number 1, then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. Now let me stop right there and say this. Most of you are aware of this. Publicans were the tax collectors. The tax collectors during this time of Jesus' time were Jews that was hired by the Roman government to collect taxes. The only problem with the tax collectors and publicans during that time, the only problem with that is they could, as long as they got the Roman amount of money, it didn't matter if they went ahead and got some extra money for themselves. And of course, as human nature would have it, they kept getting greedier and greedier all the time, and they were extorting people with money. And they were usually rich people because they would not only collect a Roman tax, but they would collect great amount of money for themselves to enrich their own selves. That's what Zacchaeus was when Jesus found him, and he wanted to go back and pay everybody back fourfold for everything he'd stole from them. That's what Matthew, Levi, was. He was sitting there collecting taxes when Jesus passed by him and said, "Follow me, I'll make you fishers of men." Publicans were hated. People thought they were Benedict Arnolds. They thought they were traitors to the Jewish race because they would come and they would be so harsh upon the people, and they had the Roman government on their back to support them, that protected them. And so you couldn't do anything to the publicans, or the Roman government would come down on you, and so you didn't want to do that. So they were hated people. Then you had sinners. Now the sinners that the Bible speaks of here were people that did not obey the law. They did not worry about the Sabbath day. They didn't worry about the ceremonial washings, and they didn't worry about the scribes and Pharisees and Sadducees and all the traditions. They didn't care about nothing like that. They lived their lives without any of that. And so the scribes and Pharisees and Sadducees that you were talking about, they looked down their nose upon them as sinners. They didn't want to have nothing to do with them. But yet Jesus, they kept accusing him because they accused him of being a friend of the publicans and sinners. Now notice here, he was talking to them. And by the way, listen to me very carefully. There's a lot of people that can see the beauty of creation. A lot of people that can love their children, can love their families, can be good neighbors, be good employees, but yet they have never found Jesus. They're lost. And even though they may be good at all those things as we look upon it, they are still a sinner. Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost.
Amen.
Jesus has a great love for sinners. He doesn't want one sinner to remain lost. He died, and when he died, the Bible tells us upon the cross of Calvary that God placed upon him the sins of the whole world.
Amen.
Your sins was placed upon Jesus. My sins was placed upon Jesus. The way that we become saved is by putting our faith and trust in what Jesus did upon the cross of Calvary. Through faith, we're able to receive the grace of God, the gift of God, which is Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And so, remember that word perish, we'll get back to that in a moment. But notice here that the publicans and sinners came to hear Jesus. Look in verse 2. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, "This man receiveth sinners." Now again, when you look at receiveth, means to allow them to be in his presence and to allow them and say that eateth with them. So they just couldn't understand, if Jesus was a prophet, how in the world he could beneath himself and lower himself to such a degree that he could eat and he could actually have company with the sinners and publicans. And then Jesus spake this parable unto them, saying, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. And by the way, the word lost is the same word, basically, from the root word that perish is. It means to be cast into hell and lost. It means to be cast into hell and perish. If you have never been saved, you're lost. You say, well, preacher, I try to be a good neighbor. That's all good. But if you've never received Christ, you're still lost. You may say, well, preacher, I've tried to be a good mom and dad. That's all good, but without Christ, you're still lost. Amen. And so if you are not ever saved in this life, you will perish. Because whosoever believeth him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You say, well, preacher, I'm not that bad a person. Verse 17, John chapter 3. He came not into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. Verse 18, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. In other words, you already set condemned before God. You know why? You're lost. Look on. He says, for I have found my sheep which was lost. Verse 7, I say unto you that likewise joy shall be where? In heaven over what? One sinner that repenteth more than 99 just persons, which need no repentance. Now we'll get back to that in just a moment. But remember that every time one person truly repents and is saved here upon this earth, in heaven there is rejoicing over one sinner that repenteth. And we'll talk about that in just a moment. But let's get back and let's look at a couple things about Jesus representing this lost sheep. Now first of all, again, I want to remind you, this sheep had strayed away. Somebody said, well, the sheep was not, it's not their fault. You know, sheep is not known to be very smart. And by the way, we're not very smart either. Don't want you to be offended. You say, well, I think I'm pretty smart. The Bible calls us fools when we reject God. If you've never been saved, you're not real smart. If you keep straying away and you're lost, and you're sitting there and you're putting your soul, your everlasting soul, in the danger of dying without Christ, you're taking a great risk. Amen. One time this rich young farmer, in the book of Luke chapter 12, man, he had made a life for himself, and he said to himself, I'm going to tear down my old barns, build new barns, and I'm going to eat, drink, be merry the rest of my life. In other words, he said, I'm just going to retire and enjoy myself. And the Bible says God came to him that night and said, thou soul, thou fool, thy soul shall be required of thee. I'll never forget when my dad died in his casket, he requested that that chapter be shown in this Bible, and his finger pointing to that verse. And so, I don't think his finger was pointing. That's another one I was thinking about. But I think that he wanted the text open in the Bible. Now, I'll never forget one time as I was sitting there and people was coming through and viewing his body. His Bible was in his lap and it was open to Luke chapter 12, and he had it underlined, a message he'd preached. And he had it underlined about that farmer and God saying to him, thou fool, this night thy soul should be required. And I'll never forget this guy come passing by. He just got weeping. I come up there because he just kept crying. I said, what's wrong? He pointed in the Bible to that farmer. He said, that's me. He said, I've sold myself And he said, I've been a fool. And I told him, I said, do you realize that God loves you? Even though we may be lost, you need to understand, if we're lost, we're going to perish unless we do something about this. But you need to understand this, you're loved. Somebody said, well, you can't love somebody like me. Surely God can't love me. The Bible said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. There's nobody that's not loved of God. Even the publicans and sinners that the Pharisees and Sadducees, they hated. They detested those people. They could not believe that Jesus would even speak to them. But Jesus loved them. And so Jesus told this parable because he wanted them to understand. He said, listen, how many of you, if you lost one sheep, would not go after that sheep? He said, there's not one soul I won't go after. The Bible says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man open up, I will come unto him. Some people said, well, preacher, I believe there's some people destined and predestined to be saved. Some people predestined to be lost. Listen, if that was the case, God would not put whosoever will, let him come. You can come and be saved, but you must come to Jesus. You can only come when the Spirit of God's drawing you. But thank God His Spirit draws and deals with each and every one of us at some given time in our life. You know what that is? That's God seeking you, that one little sheep. So not only are you a lost sheep, if you're here and not saved, I want you to know you're a loved sheep, that Jesus loved you. Your value is very important to Jesus. How important was it? We'll talk about it in a moment. And by the way, just one. Somebody said this, and I believe it to be true. If only one sinner was to be saved, Jesus would come to the cross and die for that one sinner. I don't know about you, but I'm sure glad I figured out what he did for me. Now I'm glad that I accepted the gift that God offered me through Jesus Christ. I'm glad I'm no longer that lost person. I'm glad I'm saved. But I'll never forget Jackie. I'll talk about Jackie here. I'll never forget going over his house one day. Remember that? In the middle of your kitchen floor or living room floor. We got down on a chair right there. He asked the Lord to save him. Think about that. That one little soul, the Lord wanted to save that day. Because I remember the Lord just impressed upon my heart to go over to Jackie's house and talk to him. I said, well, I'll talk to him Sunday. And I remember the Lord just saying, talk to him. Go talk to him. And I went that night. Remember that? I remember as a boy in Sinking Creek Baptist Church, I went and Dad and them made me go to church. And I'd go and I went to the back row and I sat on the back row thinking I could escape. And many nights I did escape, but that night, the Holy Spirit of God began to tug on my heart and knock on my door. And I remember like I felt like I was the lone sheep in the whole place. I felt like God was speaking to me, whether he spoke to anybody else or not. But man, I knew that he was calling my name. I was trying to think, how can I get away from this feeling? And God was saying, come. And I'm so thankful that night I come out and stepped out of that pew. I came. I came as a lost, and now I'm found. And I praise God that I was saved that night when I came, when God bid my name to come. Amen. So he deals with you. Some people say, well, preacher, I just want to be part of a crowd. No, the crowd's going that wide, broad road that leads to destruction. When you get saved, it's between you and God. He deals with you one on one. He deals with you as a lone sheep. And the Bible says he went after this one. You remember when the Lord came after you? You remember when the Lord came after you? You remember when the Lord came after you? He comes after us one by one by one. Somebody said, well, I just want to join the group. Nope. You got to come one. He deals with you one by one. He cares about that one. Not only that, but think about what the shepherd went through. There was great danger in the shepherd going. But now look what Jesus went through to save you, that one. He left heaven where he created everything. The Bible says everything was made by him and for him. And so therefore he was in heaven. Everything in heaven worshiped him, praised him, exalted him. And you know what he chose to do because of the Father's bidding? To come down to the earth and take on him the form of a man. His whole purpose of coming was the fact that he was going to come and die upon the cross of Calvary. I was thinking when I saw that that cross this morning decorated like that, the greatest gift man has ever been given was the cross of Calvary. Jesus knew the danger when he came, yet he came to die. He left heaven, he paid everything. You know, in Leviticus, I believe it's chapter 17, dealing with the leopard, the Bible says when a leopard had been healed, they could go to the priest. But you got to understand this. We read that and think a lot of leopards were healed. Very few of them was ever healed. And Jesus healed one time, and they had to go, and they would go outside the camp. And they would take two birds, and they would take one bird and kill it and take its blood and put it all over the wings and spread it, cover it, and they throw it up in the air, and the bird would fly away. When a leopard had been healed, and it would sprinkle blood everywhere. And it was a reminder of that leopard that he'd been healed because of the blood. But he also had to go outside the camp. The priest had to go outside the camp because what he had to do was he had to go outside of where the temple was, and he had to go outside and remind them that he had to go outside and endanger his own self. And Jesus, when he came down here, when he came outside the camp, he left heaven, he came to the earth. Why? To be hated and despised by men. They were mocking, even when he was hanging on the cross dying for mankind, they were mocking, spitting on him, they beat him, they done all kinds of things to him. You know why? The world hated him. But you know what his purpose was? To come and look for that one little sheep, one at a time. And it was great sacrifice to him. Not only that, but he wasn't happy until he successfully found him. And so the Bible tells us that here he found the sheep. Now, when a shepherd would go out and find the sheep, most of the time, it was not the sheep's responsibility to get back home. He'd take it back home. A lot of times he'd pick it up and put it on his shoulders and carry it. I don't know about you, but I'm glad when the shepherd found me, it's his responsibility to get me home now. I'm safe with him. The Bible says that we are kept by the power of God. The Bible says that when we're saved, we are born again by the Holy Spirit of God, and that we are sealed with His Spirit until the day of redemption. We've been saved from the power of sin. We've been saved from the penalty of sin. And someday we will even be saved from the presence of sin. But what I want you to get is this. It's the Lord's responsibility to get us home. Now picture this a minute. Go back in your Bible and look just a moment. In verse number 7. He says, I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that what? Let me share this with you. If you're here this morning, you think that you can be saved and lost and saved and lost and saved. You don't understand what salvation is all about. The second thing you don't understand is salvation is not of you, it's of God. The only thing that got you saved was God's grace in His gift and your acceptance of that gift by faith. But listen to me. If it was up to you to keep yourself saved after He found you when you had been lost, He would not have said here that the moment one sinner repenteth, there's rejoicing in heaven in the presence of the angels. You know why? Because they know that one's going to get safely home, because now it's the shepherd's responsibility to get them home. He says that you cannot pluck him out of my Father's hands. We cannot be plucked. Everyone, Judas Iscariot was the devil from the beginning, but the Bible says every other one that was ever put in his hand, he's not lost any of them. You know why? Once he finds you, it's his responsibility to get you home. And the Bible says that's why even a moment. That night, that boy came down in Sinking Creek Baptist Church, that me, the night that I surrendered my heart to Christ, that night there was rejoicing in heaven. You know why? Because when I did it and I was true in my heart in what I did, they knew I'd be making it home. Because now it was up to the shepherd to get me on home after he found me when I was lost. Amen? Now, and so there was great rejoicing. Let me ask you a question this morning. Now listen to me very carefully. You may be here and you may not be saved. I want you to understand what danger you're in. To be lost. You know, sheep, I've read of some sheep where one would run over a bluff and other sheep would follow them right over the bluff. That's the way it is down here a lot of times with lost people. They'll get behind somebody else that's lost and they'll just let them lead a whole group. But what God wants is he wants you to understand that he's seeking after you. He came to seek and to save that which is lost. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Let me ask you this question. Now listen to me very carefully. Is there a time and place in your life when the shepherd came and found you? I believe if you've ever been found, you were lost and you're now saved. I don't believe it's something you grew into. I believe you can take me back to the spot and time. I remember when Linda's husband was alive, Gene. I remember he took me down to La Follette, Tennessee, and we went. He took me to this old building. It's been left, and they've built a new church since then. But he looked and he pointed and he showed me. He said, "See that spot right there?" He said, "That's where I got saved." I believe if the shepherd has ever found you when you were lost, I believe you can go back and say, "Man, that's where I was when he found me. I'm so glad I'm saved." Have you ever been saved? Saved is to be rescued from being lost. Saved means that you're rescued from perishing. Saved means that if we do nothing about our sin, and by the way, you say, "Well, it's not my fault that Adam sinned." But you know what? We're sinners. We're sinners by birth and we're sinners by choice. But same way, your choice has got to make you saved. The Bible says, if any man hear his voice, harden not your heart. He says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden. I'll give you rest." You know why we can rest? Because we're being taken home by him. Are you here this morning? You say, "Preacher, I'm one of those lost ones." Can I tell you something? Jesus is concerned about you. If you were the only person in this church today, everything that he's done would be worth it just to see you come, because he loves you. You say, "Preacher, you don't know what I've done." It doesn't matter. God loves sinners. Amen. I'm sure glad he did. Right. He saved this one right here. Amen. He'll save you too if you come. He said, "Those that come unto me, I will in no wise cast out. But you must be willing to come." Would you come this morning as we give a song of invitation? 107. Maybe you're here and you need to be saved this morning. Do you understand? It's a shepherd's job to go out and find those sheep that are lost.